welcome in our buddy. Usually we talk to this guy on Monday, but you know, we talked to Nick Alberger from Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Toronto on a Thursday. What's going on, Nick?
Not much, Pat. Every day is the same when you're through a pandemic for 15 and a half months.
No kidding. We just opened up indoor seating today. Oh. So we're right downtown. Downtown is like literally two times busier today than it has been in months. It is quite bizarre in a good way. It's been good. Okay, where do you want to start? Do you want to start tonight or do you want to start with the Islanders? It's your choice.
Yeah, let's go tonight. Certainly, I think you look at Game 6. I think you look at the fact that Vegas somehow, you know, especially considering, Pat, the way Colorado came out in Game 1, you wondered if this was just pretty much their season. And I'm not sure what has changed in that time, but certainly the one thing I'm looking at tonight in Game 6 is Nathan MacKinnon, who, as you know, as you just heard in the update, was nominated for the Hart Trophy as one of the three finalists. And he hasn't registered a point in three straight games, which is pretty unbelievable considering the body of work this season for Nathan MacKinnon, especially here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I think it's pretty simple, very similar to what Vegas did. They went on the road, won Game 5 at Ball Arena. It's time for Colorado to go now into T-Mobile Arena and find a way to win a game on the road, and I think it starts and ends with Nathan MacKinnon.
This, for me, is the most fascinated I've been since Colorado's return to prominence with, you know, since Nathan, and I think that prominence kind of began in 2019 when they knocked off the first place Flames in the Western Conference in that first round. And, you know, Nathan MacKinnon had his, here's Nathan MacKinnon in the playoffs moment, and Rantanen and Landeskog, and that line has just continued to get better. But this is the most fascinated I've been because, okay, here you are actually facing adversity. And I know that they played Game 7 against Dallas and they could have advanced to the Western Conference Final against Colorado against Vegas last year. But now they've lost three in a row. And now there's real questions being asked about this group and can they respond? I don't know the answer. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. But this is by far the most interested I've been in this group since they've become an upper echelon team again.
You're right. This is a defining moment, I think, in Nathan MacKinnon and Colorado and sort of what they have going here in the last couple of years. I think it's clearly massive. Certainly, I think you look at Colorado and the narrative that's come out from that team and that market all season long that we're the big, bad Colorado Avalanche. You're not going to beat us. We're going to win the Stanley Cup. Well, yeah, you're on the ropes now against the Vegas Golden Knights, who 4 years in are the most seasoned team you can find right now, and they've dealt with adversity beyond belief in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I think you're totally right, and I think, you know, it could go a long way in determining what type of team we're going to see in the future from the Avalanche and what changes they could make. You know, even a guy who's on the outside looking in once again tonight in Nazem Kadri. But I do expect Colorado's best game. They're a really, really good team. They've proved it all season long. I know people are trying to say, you know, they don't have enough of this, enough of that. I think it's time to just put up or shut up. And I think, you know, when push comes to shove and we look back at this game tonight, and maybe I'm completely wrong, I think Nathan MacKinnon and his DNA is going to be all over this hockey game. You just have that feeling, at least for me.
Vegas has done an incredible job of turning the tide of this series since Game 1. I know they lost Game 2, but for the final 40 minutes and overtime, Vegas looked like the better team, and then they have been outstanding since that point. What has Vegas done to allow that? What have been the biggest keys for you in terms of how they have shifted this series so dramatically?
Honestly, I think it's been a throwback to their inaugural season, Pat, and the tenacity. Like, if the one thing I do remember about the first season for Vegas, and granted, I was at the Stanley Cup final for the first two games against Washington, was just how heavy they started, how tough they started, you know, right off the get-go from the opening face-off. And it seemed like right away they would score a goal and you'd be down 1-0 before you even sit down in your seat at the arena. And I think we're seeing that again. And I think we're seeing the depth scoring too. Like, I would say the Marchessault Carlson-Smith line is playing as good as they did maybe in their first season now in year four together. And that certainly helps when you have Max Pacioretty, who is getting healthier, you would think, by the game. Mark Stone would have finished last game. And I still think one of the more underrated players, very similar to Andrew Mangiapane in Calgary, Chandler Stephenson. We talked about that earlier this season on a Fantasy Musings, how big of a pickup that was a couple of years back from Washington. I think he's done great things for that team and really creates space for Pacioretty and Stone on that top line. And then I think the bottom six is very, very underrated. So I think that's, you know, my takeaway from this Vegas team is that they can hit you in a variety of different ways, whether it be Alex Tuck on line three. Their fourth line has chipped in, and of course, Pacioretty and Stone have been doing their thing on the top line, not to mention line number two.
Nick Alberga is with us, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. He joins us here on the Sports Drive at 5. And Nick, we've made light quite a bit over the last number of weeks about how the New York Islanders do nothing for me. I talk a lot about I don't think the Islanders with that roster can win a Stanley Cup and all that type of stuff. Well, here they are for a second straight year in the Final Four. I know we're not calling it the Eastern Conference Final this year, but they're in a Stanley Cup semifinal once again, and they're taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning once again. And look, I still don't think the Islanders are going to win a Stanley Cup, but man, they do what so many teams in this league would dream of doing. Make the playoffs every year and then consistently win a round or two. It's pretty impressive. Whether you love the way they play or not, what they do and what they have done since Barry Trotz took over is pretty damn incredible.
Yeah, they deserve all the credit in the world, not to mention they're without their captain, Anders Lee, and that's been a big narrative, not really discussed a lot, but you lose your captain, your heart and soul, your big-time goal scorer, and you keep trucking right along. And I think I'm right there with you. Like, I for one, have never given the Islanders credit the last couple of years, especially since John Tavares left. And all they do is make me lose my picks. Like, every year, it just seems like when you expect them to be the biggest underdog ever, they find a way. I think you look at these first couple of series, I truly do feel Tristan Jarry was the big-time story in Series 1. He couldn't make a stop. I'm not pinning this on Tuukka Rask, but he looked like 35% last night. I think it was quite selfish, quite honestly, if Tuukka Rask to play last night because he was nowhere close to being a guy who should be playing in a Stanley Cup playoff game. But ultimately, I think for Boston, they still have serious depth needs and secondary scoring needs. The top line had 11 of 17 goals. One was an empty netter from Taylor Hall, so it's 11 of 16. And I just think they play a really grounded attack. They play heavy. They can beat you in a variety of different ways, and we're texting back and forth today, and I think a lot of people would be shocked that through 12 games, the Islanders have the most goals out of any team remaining here in the Stanley Cup playoffs, so they believe 43. So I think when you look at this rematch with Tampa, I'm inclined to side with you once again. I just think there are just way too many guns on Tampa, not to mention Andrei Vasilevskiy, and clearly special teams is going to play a big-time factor, just like it did here against Boston and the whole New York Saints. I can't wait to see when Tampa gets a couple power plays, and they're humming along at a 42% clip right now, Pat. It's
insane. Do not give the Tampa Bay Lightning power play opportunities. It's funny, you watch that power play, you see how much talent is there, and then you're like, how did Toronto not, like, how did the Maple Leafs not have power play success when you look at what Tampa and Colorado can do? Similar talent, two power plays look incredible, and one looked like it never played on the man advantage before in their lives.
Snap it around. Like, it really, really is a work of art watching the Tampa Bay Lightning throw the puck around on the power play. And it just, ultimately, it comes down to that clutch gene. And I know people love to intimate, you know, what is a clutch gene. I think you look at Braden Point, we've all seen his body of work over the last two Stanley Cup playoffs. The guy just scores big-time goals. Alex Killorn loves to get in front. Nikita Kucherov, it's weird to say, I still think he's severely underrated. Like, I was having a debate with a friend the other day, who's a top five player? Who are the top five players in the NHL? And he neglected to mention Nikita Kucherov. Maybe it's because Kucherov missed the regular season, but it shouldn't be a shock that they get Kucherov back and now they're the big bad Lightning again. And oh yeah, you got the best defenseman in the NHL on the back end in Victor Hedman, one of the best one-timers in Steven Stamkos. But I think ultimately it just comes down to a team being seasoned. And, you know, I think a lot of people the last couple of days have made excellent points on Tampa that how many times, you know, similar, we just talked about Colorado, how many times did Tampa fail? Like, they were this close to firing John Cooper, you would think, and going an alternate direction. And they stuck with the course, and they stuck with the players, the nucleus, and it's paying off big time. It's just so amazing to me, Pat, how all those seasons of disappointment, and now it seems like they can't do wrong. It seems like it's simple for them to get past a couple rounds here in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah. What did you make of Dougie Hamilton on Carolina's locker cleanout day today? You know, says, yeah, hey, they're $18 million over the salary cap? He didn't clarify. He's like, well, no, I don't have a problem with it. It just shows how much talent they have. But it's opened up that conversation again about the fact that Kucherov didn't play all year and then came back when the salary cap doesn't exist in the playoffs. And Stamkos missed however long he missed at the end of the season, then comes back for the playoffs. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it at all. Any other general manager in this league would do the exact same thing. But lots of people do have problems with what Tampa's doing. Are you one of those people?
Not really. You know, people love to bitch and complain about everything on social media, not just hockey, so whatever. I look past it. Teams have been circumventing the cap for a long, long period of time. I love when people in Toronto start complaining about Tampa. It's like, you're the one team that's been doing it for a couple of years, dating back to Lou Lamoriello, telling a guy to go away, shh, don't go anywhere. You know, like, I think you look at this Tampa team, I honestly think they're a likable team, and I put this out on social media the other day. Like, I've got no problem with the way this team plays the game and how they, you know, go about their business. Certainly, I think it raises some eyebrows, but I think he's coming off. Kucherov is a tough, serious injury, and the way he comes back, you know, maybe they gave him a couple extra weeks. But I just think, in general, that team had a good season without Kucherov, and they were still a contender to win the Stanley Cup without Kucherov. Yeah, at him, but I think my takeaway from that team in general is just the depth they possess, right? You look beyond Kucherov and Point and all those guys, you start remembering, you know, Cirelli, Killorn, Goodrow, Gord, Coleman. Ross Colton's had an exceptional rookie season. Tyler Johnson is playing with Tyler Johnson that we saw on the triplets line way back when. Like, there's just so much depth, and they've got some guys in the back end that never get any credit. You know, guys like Mikhail Sergachev and Eric Chernak, they're just ultimately such a deep team. But I think what happens in pro sports, that once you win, people just automatically don't want to see you win again, Pat.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, the thing I would say, like, well, they're fabricating it with Kucherov. You think Nikita Kucherov is going to go have hip surgery just to help the Tampa Bay Lightning salary cap? Come on. Like, that was significant surgery he had. He needed the surgery.
Yeah, a conspiracy theorist. And not to mention, like, it's not like just Tampa became a good team now, right? They've been an excellent team. I think this is their second Stanley Cup, or potentially, you know, in terms of the conference final, the final four. Like, they've been to four or five of these things over the last seven or eight years. Like, they always seem to be in that conversation. And it's just so funny that now this conversation comes up that they're circumventing the cap. But last time I checked, a lot of teams are doing that right now.
Yeah, exactly. Nick Alberg is with us, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's your feel on Montreal? As we last time we talked to you about the Habs, they had upset the Maple Leafs and come back in 1-7. And now they continue that run. They take a four-game sweep over the Winnipeg Jets, and here they are getting set for the winner of Colorado and Vegas. How are the Habs here? And I think it's probably time to stop talking about what Toronto and Winnipeg didn't do and hell of a job the Habs have been able to do to get to this point.
Yeah, most importantly, I think it's the biggest point, is I think you have to give Montreal credit. And I think if there's somebody out there who wants the series to go seven between Vegas and Colorado, it's probably the Montreal Canadiens, who are stewing and waiting at home. And certainly they look right over at Winnipeg, who had a long, long break, you know, against Edmonton, and then came up sort of flat. But I think Montreal just has belief. They're playing so determined right now, and they're playing so structured. I know people are going to have that conversation about the North Division, which I'll have, but I still have to give credit where it's due. Carey Price has been unbelievable. Any game you watch, you're like, this guy's not letting a goal in tonight. I think their ability to move the puck on the back end, and more so their size in the back end, has been really, really impressive. So I think we overlook throughout the season the importance of bringing guys in who have been there before, guys like Edmondson, and obviously Shea Weber's finally getting an opportunity. But I think it starts with the goaltending. And quite honestly, you look at teams who win the Cup, if you believe in your goalie, you feel like a rock star, and you go out there and you just play your game, and they're really, really locked in. So I can't go as far as to say Montreal is going to beat Vegas or Colorado in a seven-game series, but I think they're going to make it mighty interesting.
And finally, in your market, we have heard from Shanahan and Dubas and Keefe, and they've done their locker clean out and everybody's gone their separate ways. What are the big stories that you're watching in Toronto as they head into this offseason?
Well, quite honestly, I think it was embarrassing, the comments. Like, who knows, you know, what you expect from a locker room clean out day, but, you know, accountability, that word wasn't used. Unacceptable, that word wasn't used. I feel like they left them off the hook again. Like, you know, it seems like year after year they come out and say, yeah, you know, it didn't happen, and we're going to look forward and move forward with the same brain trust. That's what alarmed me. It's like, take some accountability. You you want this narrative out there that you're one of the best teams in the NHL. Nobody's talking about the North Division. Foregone conclusion, you're winning the division. You should be a contender for the Stanley Cup. And you can't get out of the first round. And now it's going to be 18 seasons. You choke against the rival Montreal Canadiens. So I think in general, up and down that roster, everybody has to have a look in the mirror. And that includes the brain trust running the operation there, because I think it starts at the top and works its way down. Like, I would love some accountability and you know, place some blame somewhere, because it seemed like nobody wanted to take the blame and they were just pointing the finger elsewhere, which ultimately I don't think is going to achieve anything. So the pressure is going to be there again next year, and I would say jobs are on the line if they don't do anything next year. And maybe that includes, you know, winning a series. Start there at least, right? Yeah,
exactly. One step at a time. get out of here, Nick. Good stuff, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Take care.